Welcome to the Introduction to Statistics audio tutorial from the Rapid Learning Center. By completing this course, you will learn how to define statistics, study statistics, identify measures of central tendency and variability, calculate probability, understand hypothesis testing, use the central limit theorem, and identify probability distributions. The concept map reveals how content presented in this tutorial is related to content you've previously learned. Statistics is the study of data. It has central tendency and variability. Data can be classified into distributions, which are displayed with graphical representations, and data is tested with hypothesis testing. What is statistics? Statistics is a branch of mathematics that deals with the effective management and analysis of data. In statistics, data is made more manageable and presented in a logical form. Patterns can be seen from organized data, in frequency tables, by using graphical techniques, through measuring central tendency, and through measuring spread or variability. Learning statistics. Study tips. The following study tips will help you learn the material presented in this course. Read the introduction and objectives for each lesson in this course guide. Have a pencil ready and work through the examples. Make sure you understand the steps to each solution. Work problems regularly, several days per week, to help you master the concepts. A prerequisite review. Many basic math concepts are used in statistics. Here are some of the key math concepts from intermediate algebra used in this course. Numbers, equations and inequalities, functions and their graphs, exponential and logarithmic functions, the trigonometric functions, and sequences, counting and probability. Why statistics? To develop an appreciation for variability and how it affects products and processes. To study methods that can be used to help solve problems, build knowledge, and continuously improve products and processes. Build an appreciation for the advantages and limitations of informed observation and experimentation. Determine how to analyze data from designed experiments in order to build knowledge and continuously improve, and to develop an understanding of some basic ideas of statistical reliability and the analysis data. Problem-solving methods. What is a problem? A problem is a question that motivates you to search for a solution. What is problem-solving? Finding a solution to a problem by developing an understanding of the problem through the creation and/or manipulation of processes and concepts. Understand and explore the problem. Find a strategy. Use the strategy to solve the problem. Look back and reflect on the solution. Here are some problem-solving strategies. Split problems into parts. Analyze the given values. Draw. This includes drawing pictures and diagrams. Make a list. This includes making a table. Think. This means using skills you already know. Think about the statistical methods that are used to solve the problem. Analyze the efficiency of the result. Now let's examine some statistical concepts. Measures of central tendency are measures of the location of the middle or the center of a distribution. The mean is the most commonly used measure of central tendency. The following are measures of central tendency as well: the median, the mode, and the mid-range. The mean is the sum of scores divided by the number of observations, or mu is equal to sigma of x x is the observation, divided by n, where n is the number of observations. For example, take the set of numbers 2, 2, 3, 5, 5, 7, and 8. The total of these values is 32. There are 7 values. So you divide the total by 7. 32 divided by 7 is equal to 4.57. So the mean is 4.57. For the median, the data must be ranked, sorted in ascending or descending order, first. The median is the number in the middle. To find the median, put the values in order. Then find the middle value. If there are two values in the middle, then find the average of these two values. Let's take our example set of numbers 2, 2, 3, 5, 5, 7, and 8. These numbers are already in order, so we'll choose the middle value. The middle value is 5, so the median is 5. The mode of a set of data is the value in the set that occurs most often. Here's a problem. The number of points scored in a series of football games is listed below. Which score is the mode? Our data set? 7, 13, 18, 24, 9, 3, and 18. Ordering the scores from least to greatest, we get 3, 7, 9, 13, 18, 18, and 24. The score which occurs most often is 18. This is our mode. The mid-range is simply the midpoint between the highest and lowest values. Its formula is x of the largest observation and x of the smallest summed together divided by 2. If the largest observation in a data set is 10, and the smallest is 0, the mid-range would be equal to 10 plus 0 divided by 2. The mid-range is 5. Measures of variability. Variability describes in an exact quantitative measure how spread out, clustered together, the scores are. Some examples of measures of variability are range, variance, and standard deviation. Two distributions could have the same symmetrical shape and mean value without having the same variability. The range of a set of data is the difference between the highest and lowest values in the set. Here's a problem. Cheryl took 7 math tests in 1 marking period. What is the range of her test scores? The scores are 89, 73, 84, 91, 87, 77, and 94. Ordering the test scores from least to greatest, we get 73, 77, 84, 87, 89, 91, and 94. The highest is 94, and the lowest is 73. 94 minus 73 is equal to 21. The range of these test scores is 21 points. The variance of a sample measures how the observations are spread around the mean. Large variance means the score is widely spread around the mean. Population variance is designated by sigma squared. Sigma squared is equal to the summation of x minus mu squared divided by n. Sample variance is designated by S squared. Samples are less variable than populations. They therefore give biased estimates of population variability. Degrees of freedom are the number of parameters that may be independently varied. In a sample, the sample mean must be known before the variance can be calculated. Therefore, the final score is dependent on earlier scores. The formula is S squared is equal to the summation of x sub I minus x bar squared divided by n minus 1. The most common measure of variability is the standard deviation or the square root of the variance. A good measure of variability must be stable and reliable, not greatly affected by certain details in the data such as extreme scores, multiple sampling from the same population, and open-ended distributions. Both the variance and standard deviation are related to other statistical techniques. The empirical rule. For a data set of normal distribution, a value will fall within a range of plus or minus 1 standard deviation 68% of the time, plus or minus 2 standard deviations 95% of the time, plus or minus 3 standard deviations 99% of the time. Probability. The probability of an event is a probability that it provides a quantitative description of the likely occurrence of a particular event. P of E is equal to the number of outcomes corresponding to event E divided by the total number of outcomes. For example, the probability of drawing a spade from a pack of 52 well-shuffled playing cards is 13 divided by 52, which is equal to 1/4, which equals 0.25. Conditional probability. The probability that event B occurs, given that event A has already occurred, is P of A given B is equal to P of A and B divided by P of A. For example, the question was asked, do you smoke? Of 100 people. We want to know the probability of randomly selecting an individual being a male that smokes. This is a joint probability. The number of male and smoke is divided by the total to arrive at the appropriate probability. Random variable. A random variable is a function that associates a unique numerical value with every outcome of an experiment. There are two types of random variable, discrete and continuous. Discrete. A coin is tossed 10 times. The random variable x is the number of tails that are noted. X can only take on the values 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So x is a discrete random variable. Continuous. A light bulb is burned until it burns out. The random variable y is the lifetime in hours. Y can take any positive real value, even decimals, so y is a continuous random variable. Frequency distribution and graph. A frequency distribution is a set of scores arranged in order of magnitude along the x-axis with the frequency of each score along the y-axis. We use graphs to illustrate relative amounts, to specify the subject, and to answer specific questions. Here are some commonly used graphs: the categorical frequency distribution, histogram, bar chart, frequency polygon, and stem and leaf plot. Categorical frequency distributions can be used for data that can be placed in specific categories such as nominal or ordinal level data. Some examples are political affiliation, religious affiliation, and blood type. Histograms and bar charts. Histograms and bar charts are maintained to approximate the distribution of data according to numerical attributes. They are constructed by partitioning the data into mutually disjoint subsets. Frequency is recorded on the y-axis and the data intervals on the x-axis. Bar charts can be displayed horizontally or vertically, and they are usually drawn with a gap between the bars or the rectangles, whereas the bars of a histogram are normally drawn immediately next to each other. A frequency polygon is a graph that represents the shape of the data. It can be conceptualized as a connection of the midpoints of the classes at the height specified by the frequency. A relative frequency polygon is similar to a frequency polygon, except that the height is dictated by the relative frequency. Stem and leaf plots. Stem and leaf plots were developed to summarize data without loss of information. The stem is every digit except the last. The leaf represents the last digit. For example, if the leaf unit is equal to 0.1, the number 3.4 would be 3 as the stem and 4 as the leaf. The probability distribution. The probability distribution of a discrete random variable is a list of probabilities associated with each of its possible values. The probability distribution is defined by a probability function, denoted by f of x, which provides the probability for each value of the random variable. The required conditions for a discrete probability function are f of x is greater than or equal to 0 and f of x is equal to 1. We can describe a discrete probability distribution with a table, graph, or equation. Data can be represented by a probability distribution function. One very important concept in statistics is hypothesis testing. Hypothesis testing tests whether the data supports the claim, the hypothesis, or not. The critical concepts or terms of hypothesis testing are H sub 0, or the null hypothesis. This is the statement of no effect or no difference. And H sub A, the alternative hypothesis, which is the statement we hope or suspect is true. For example, if we spin a coin 250 times, P would be the probability of getting ahead during each spin. The null hypothesis would be P is equal to 0.5 against the alternative hypothesis that P is greater than 0.5. This is a one-sided hypothesis. But what about a two-sided hypothesis? In a two-sided hypothesis, the null hypothesis would be P is equal to 0.5 against the alternative hypothesis that P is not equal to 0.5. Here is an example of hypothesis testing. A mechanic is considering replacing his old equipment with new equipment. Mu of O, or the old equipment, is the average weekly maintenance cost of one of the old machines. Mu will be the average weekly maintenance cost he can expect for one of the new ones. We want to test the null hypothesis mu is equal to mu sub O. In one scenario, he will purchase the new equipment if it will reduce his average weekly maintenance cost. That is, mu is less than mu sub 0. This is called a one-sided alternative using inequalities less than, greater than, less than or equal to, and greater than or equal to. In another scenario, if he just wants to find out if the price of the new equipment is different, higher or lower than the old equipment, the alternative hypothesis is mu is not equal to mu sub O. Hypothesis testing, forms and errors. Null and alternative hypotheses can take the following forms. If the null hypothesis is mu is equal to mu sub 0, the possible alternatives are mu is not equal to mu sub 0, mu is less than mu sub 0, and mu is greater than mu sub 0. If the null hypothesis is mu is greater than or equal to mu sub 0, the possible alternative is mu is less than mu sub 0. If the null is mu is less than or equal to mu sub 0, the possible alternative is mu is greater than mu sub 0. Now we are either going to reject the null hypothesis or accept it. It is important to realize that we can make two types of errors in rejecting the null hypothesis. That is the type 1 error and the type 2 error. The type 1 error is rejecting the null hypothesis when it is actually true. The type 2 error is not rejecting the null hypothesis when it is false. Normal distributions. A normal distribution is single-peaked, bell-shaped, the tails fall off quickly, the mean, median, and mode are the same. The points where there is a change in curvature are one standard deviation on either side of the mean. The mean and standard deviation completely specify the curve. For distributions that are not quite symmetric, we have the central limit theorem. It states that as the sample size increases, the sampling distribution of the sampling mean approaches the normal distribution with mean mu of 0 and variance sigma squared divided by n of 1. In other words, as the sample size gets larger, where the number of observations is greater than 30, the sampling distribution becomes almost normal regardless of the shape of the population. The continuous probability distribution. A continuous random variable can assume any value in an interval on the real line or in a collection of intervals. Continuous random variables make up the continuous probability distribution. Probability distributions can be uniform, normal, or exponential. Uniform probability distribution. A random variable is uniformly distributed whenever the probability is proportional to the interval's length. The uniform probability density function is given by f of x is equal to 1 divided by b minus a, for a is less than or equal to x is less than or equal to b. F of x is equal to 0 elsewhere. A is equal to the smallest value the variable can assume, and b is equal to the largest value the variable can assume. The expected value of x, e of x, is equal to a plus b divided by 2. The variance of x is equal to the quantity n squared minus 1 divided by 12. The normal probability distribution. The normal probability distribution is the most important distribution for describing a continuous random variable. It has been used in a wide variety of applications, which include heights and weights of people, test scores, scientific measurements, and amounts of rainfall. It is widely used in statistical inference. The normal probability density function is f of x is equal to the quantity of 1 divided by the square root of 2 times pi multiplied by sigma multiplied by e to the negative x minus mu squared divided by 2 times sigma squared, where mu is equal to the mean, sigma is the standard deviation, pi is 3.14, and e is 2.718. The exponential probability distribution is appropriate for modeling time between events at an average rate. The exponential random variables can be used to describe time between vehicle arrivals at a toll booth, time required to complete a questionnaire, distance between major defects in a highway. The exponential probability distribution function is given by p of x is equal to lambda times e raised to the negative lambda x, where lambda is the rate of change. Course summary. In this tutorial, we've talked about and learned problem-solving methods and statistics study skills, central tendency and variability, frequency distributions and other graphical representations, hypothesis testing including type 1 and 2 errors, the normal curve and central limit theorem, which has provided us with a great basis to begin our statistics course. Congratulations! You have successfully completed the Rapid Learning Center Introduction to Statistics course audio tutorial. For more audio and visual tutorials, please visit us on the web at www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.